Father, we just come before you today, Lord, and we ask you that you would focus our minds upon you. Open our hearts to receive your truth. Let us bring forth, Lord, the word of God and not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase and send your word forth to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
We are on part four. We are on part four, which means we've had part one, two, and
three.
Ooh, you guys are on top of it today. Are you awake today? I don't have to roust you up like before. Do we need awake? Awake. Peyton's awake. Peyton is awake. Throw that diaper in here. That'll wake him up. And they're all like, I'm awake. Chemical warfare. Amen. We've been talking about the unshakable things in a world that's shaking.
That's
again,
right.
Is there any doubt that the world is shaking?
No, sir.
I mean, have you seen the hurricanes and the tropical storms and the earthquakes and the wars and the rumors of wars and kingdoms coming down and kingdoms being rebuilt? It's happening. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So real quick, for those of you maybe that are just joining us, Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 27 says, the words once more indicate, well, I'm going to start up a little further. Once more, the Lord says, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Once more, he says, he promises, it says, that he is going to shake things up. And so we have been talking about, if you're just joining us, the 12 unshakable things in a world that is shaking.
And so we'll cover the first seven?
Eight.
I thought that was eight.
Oh.
First eight.
Wow.
Okay.
No.
All right. Do we start at zero or one? See, if we started at zero.
Yes.
All right, the first unshakable thing, the kingdom of God. Hebrews 12:28, the kingdom of God, unshakable. Again, God's going to shake everything, and only that which is unshakable will remain. Amen?
Amen.
The throne of God, number two, the throne of God. Lamentations 5:19. You, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Number three, the church of God. Peyton is happy. She's going to preach. Amen?
Amen?
The church of God, Joel 3:16 through 18. Amen? That's you. The saint of God, number four. Isaiah 54:17. You should know this one if you're born again. No weapon forged against you shall prevail. Amen?
Amen.
And every tongue that accuses you, you're going to refute it.
Amen.
Number five, the goodness of God. Amen.
Amen.
The goodness of God. Psalms 52:1. What number am I on?
Six, the faithfulness of God.
Number six, the faithfulness of God. I should have written the little numbers out here. Sorry. I have to go one.
I'm helping you, babe.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for a helpmate.
There you go.
Number six, the faithfulness of God. Psalm 100, verse 5. Numero siete. Number seven, a little bilingual there. Just thought I'd throw you for a loop. The love of God. I could have Russian. I could have it said in Russian. I got to help her back over here. Amen. I was going to say, you go above 10, you're toast. right. Number 8, the mercy of God. The mercy of God, Psalm 118:29. If you need the mercy of God, say amen.
Amen.
Because it is unshakable, unending, endures
amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Number 9. Are you ready for number 9? Number 9, the Word of God,
amen.
Which is the truth of God. Amen?
That's right.
The Word of God, which is the truth of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 out of New King James says, "But the Word of the Lord endures forever."
Amen.
Now this is the Word which by the Gospel was preached to you. The good news, amen, it endures forever. We live in times where contracts are made to be broken. There are more lawyers than you can shake a stick at who are trying to break contracts. And if you say, it's going to be this way forever, then someone will say, well, actually what he meant was not really forever, but you can be assured that when God says forever, he means forever. The people who give their word nowadays look for a way to escape it. How do I break out of it? You know, marriage used to be a covenant. Now it's a contract. And a contract with an easy out. Never was so, because this is how God is. He made a covenant with us. And he keeps his covenant. Amen?
Amen.
A promise. See, when people are looking for a way of excuse or escape or a way out, God is not. He is solid. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is unchanging.
That's right.
Because God is altogether nothing like us.
That's right.
Because he is not looking to change.
Amen. And even though people are typically looking for reasons as excuses and ways to get out of the words that they've spoken, God is always looking to fulfill the words that he's spoken to you. In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind.
Amen.
Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? When I really got a hold of this, not just saw this in here, but really got a hold of it in here, that if God is sinless and if God is holy and if God is perfect and if he cannot sin, then he cannot lie. Therefore, God will always keep his word to me. And see, in this world, people don't keep your word to you. They keep their word as long as it's convenient or comfortable or it works, and then they're looking for a way out. And so we think God is like that, and God is not like that.
Amen.
God cannot lie to you. God cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his word. If he said, I am going to do this for you, then right here, he said, I am not a man. I'm not like the son of man. I'm not going to change my mind. If I've spoken it to you, then you can rest in the amen, so be it. If it came from God, you can rest that it's true. And people shake because they don't know who to trust. They don't know whose words are trustworthy anymore, and so they shake. I'm lost, I'm confused, I don't know what to do. Who do I ask? Who's going to tell me the truth? Who's going to tell me what they want to tell me so they can fulfill their agenda through me? And who's really going to tell me the truth? Have you ever been shaken? Have you ever been in that place where you're like, I don't even know what to do, and I'm scared because I don't even know who to talk to because I'm already in a pickle. And what if I talk to somebody and they tell me a lie and I end up in a bigger pickle? But you know what? God will never lie to you. His ways are always true. His ways are always right. His ways are always secure. He will never, ever lie to you. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can always turn to his word and know it is always the way, it is always truth, and it always leads you unto the path of life in your life. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He can't lie to you.
God can't change. And therefore, if he is the Word, and the Word is God, then it can't change either. Amen?
Amen.
His Word is true, eternal, and unending. What he said in Genesis is as valid today as it was when it was spoken. And the Word that he has for the Church of Revelation, which is a future time, can I tell you that Word is as valid today as it is when it came forth and was written down.
That's right.
New King James, Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generation. His truth,
right,
which is Him, because His truth is His word. His word is relevant and right. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, it is always relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I did real estate for a while, and I sold a couple of churches, and there's a really big church here in the city, and it has a nice steeple with a cross on top of it. And in selling this, we had pastor upon pastor come and look at this. And I'm standing there with a very well-known pastor in a very large church, and he goes, "I think we're going to have to take the steeple and the cross down." And I went, "You're what?" And he said, "Well, because it's not really relevant today. We want to be relevant to the world." I said, now, mind you, this is my job, and I'm trying to make a living at it. And I said, "I have to tell you something, Pastor. That makes me a little insane." I said, "Do you understand why a steeple was there?" I said, "You're a pastor. I'm a pastor. Let me tell you something. The reason that steeple was there, because people came into a town and they looked for the steeple, because at the steeple were the answers."
Right.
You could go to any town in any place in the world virtually, find the steeple, find a man of God, and he would give you answers as to where to find a job, where to find a house, what was going on in the city, because that was the center point. And Christ was the cross on top of that center point. And he's like, "Well, you know, we just want to be a little more relevant. You can't buy this building. You got to go." Just, I was like, really? A church without a cross?
Come on.
Oh,
that's a cult.
My. I think Jesus said, "If you deny me, I'll deny you. I'm going to put the cross there." Anyway, sorry. That was off track. Because it is relevant, and God's word is relevant. Amen? And it doesn't matter if people like it or not. It's relevant. It doesn't matter what the world thinks about it, because He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," and that is relevant to us. All of His word, by the way.
That's right.
Not just the parts you like.
That's right.
Some people want to highlight their Bible with a Sharpie. Ooh, that's a hard scripture. Come on now. Look, it's like, "Oh, that's Old Testament." How many of you have heard that? "Oh, that's Old Testament. That doesn't apply to us." Come on now. It all applies to us. It applied to Jesus. Yeah, by the way, the New Testament, you know, Jesus lived under the Old Testament because He fulfilled it. So, again, it's all relevant. And when you're looking for an unshakable way and an unshakable truth, in a shaking world, and to have an unshakable life in the middle of that shaking world, then you better have something that you can put your feet concretely upon.
Right.
And that is the unshakable word of God.
Amen. 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 Absolutely. His word endures forever. Forever and ever. Whenever you get lost, just go right back here and start from here. You don't have to have the next 12 steps. Just take the next first step from here, and you're going to be all right. And after you take the next first step from here, then He'll give you step 2, and then He'll give you step 3, and then He'll give you step 4. And before you know it, you'll be exactly where you never thought you could get to when you were standing here in confusion. Take the next step from the Word of God, for it is true and it endures forever. Number 10. Oh, my goodness. How you doing, Jeff? Come on, you're not helping me act there.
This is where he's empty. He said, "That's it. That's all I got." He said, "I ain't taking my shoes off." Oh. Oh, his wife's going to assist.
Okay, number 10.
She's willing to do 11.
The dominion of the Lord, Psalm 145:13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. In case you
Amen.
Don't know what dominion is power. Control, sovereign authority. It is dominion. It is power.
The dominion of the Lord is the unshakable.
Control and sovereign authority. From the time that we are born, every one of us finds ourselves under the power, under the control, and under the authority of others, right? It doesn't matter what race you are, what age you are, what gender you are, what culture you are. It just doesn't matter. At some point in life, we are always find ourselves under the power, under the authority, under the control of other people, whether it's physically, emotionally. And this is what Scripture says about this at Romans 13:1. Everyone must submit itself to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. See, many people shake because of this truth. They go, oh, imperfect people have authority over me. I can't submit to my husband. He doesn't know what he's doing. I can't submit to my boss. He doesn't know what he's doing. I can't submit to the government. Have you looked at how they're crumbling? And they start shaking, and I can't submit to any authorities. And they forget the greater truth, which is God has dominion over every one of them. See, the perfect has dominion over all the imperfect authorities in your life. And if you can grab hold of this, then you won't shake anymore because of the imperfect authorities over you, because you'll know I have a perfect God who has dominion over all the imperfect that are over me right now.
God has dominion. Man has limited power and authority and control over you. I mean, really. Man has very limited power and authority and control over you, because God has control over them in the first place. But even at that, we don't have to worry, because God has the ultimate power, the ultimate authority, and the ultimate control. Amen?
Amen.
See, look, in Daniel chapter 14, verse 3, how great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. The Lord is referred to as sovereign 297 times in NIV. Sovereign. Sovereign. Because we're kind of an upstart nation, we were kind of rebels. I don't think we understand what sovereign is. Mm-hmm. People who have been born under a kingdom understand what sovereign is and what sovereignty is. Amen? See, look, sovereign means supreme ruler, having supreme rank, power, or authority. Supreme, preeminent, indisputable, greatest in degree, utmost, or extreme, being above all others in character, importance, excellence, etc. That's God. Amen?
Amen.
That's the sovereign. That is the sovereign God that we serve. There's nobody in your life who has all of that power, who has all of that authority, who has all of that control above God.
That's right.
God alone is the sovereign in your life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It must be writing. God is the sovereign in your life.
Amen.
I want you to put these things together. God is sovereign, and his word is true. That means if everything and everybody lies to you, you don't need to worry, because God is sovereign, and his word is true.
Amen.
Amen. Look, it's going to be okay.
No circumstance, no sin, no demon, no person, no trespass is sovereign over God. Preeminent, utmost, or extreme, being above all others in character, importance, and excellence. Can I tell you? That's God. And he is above every sin, every person, every irritation.
That's right.
Not one of those things can stand above him.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. People and life and circumstances, and sometimes even your sin ends up making decisions for you. But I'm going to tell you something. God can override them all. He can override them all. Why? Because he's sovereign. He's sovereign over every one of them. Psalm 71:5, but you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. When Amen. You understand that he is sovereign, you will get this kind of confidence. You will have confidence to know, God, you are sovereign. This looks like that nothing good can come out of this, but I know your word is true, and your word says all things work together for the good to them that love God or are called according to his purposes, and I love you, and I'm doing my very best every day to be called according to your purposes, so therefore I know that though men are making these decisions for me, God, you are sovereign above all things, and you will turn what the devil and this world is intending for evil for me for good Amen. That's the kind of confidence God wants you to have. Man's power, authority, and control is limited and will always be able to be shaken. The devil's power and authority and control over you is limited and can be shaken. God's dominion is supreme, and it is secure, and it is sovereign eternally over your life, and it can never be shaken. His dominion is supreme, it is secure, it is solid. Psalm 109:21, but you, O sovereign Lord, deal well with me for your name's sake. Do you know that God's name's sake, he's at work at that in you? This is what this is saying. Deal well with me for your name's sake, and out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. How long does his goodness endure?
Forever.
Amen.
Amen. God is sovereign. Number 11, the renown of God. The renown of God, which is the name of God. The renown of God. Psalm 102, verse 12. But you, O Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. Here's what renown means. Widespread and high repute or fame. Widespread and high repute or fame. Psalm 135:13. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, through all generations. Many people feel shaken because what they've been building on is not unshakable. Can I tell you, if you built a place in Japan, you got shaken, right? See, I mean, how many people build things on Mexico City? Whose idea was it to build on a swamp? The whole thing is built on a swamp, and so every time they have a little shaking, you know what? Stuff falls down. See, this is how we are. We build on wrong foundations. God says, this never changes. This foundation you can build solidly upon my name and my renown. Look, your reputation will get shaken. People say things about you. Oh, that Glenn, I heard. Right? I mean, this, look, your people say things about you. Can I tell you what? Even though people say things about God, his reputation is never shaken. He is unshakable in that. Because his reputation will endure through my stumblings and your stumblings and all of the world saying, oh yeah, well, we're his. Mm-hmm. No, he determines who's his. And he's not shaken when we mess up. Amen? He's the one that lines us back up with him. See, when you're shaken, when you're attempting to create renown in your own name, you're going to end up being shaken. I'm just going to say, look, I don't care. Politicians learn this all the time. I'm going to run for president. And then they're like, oh yeah, watch. By the way, do you realize when you were in kindergarten, you flung a crayon and hit your teacher in the eye? I mean, look, all of a sudden, you're going to get shaken. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
See, because what was built is built on you, but what's built on God is built on him, and his name will endure through all the shaking, because Jesus said, look, even this temple, which was built in my name, is going to come down. He said, in 3 days, I'm going to tear down this temple. Because I'm going to rebuild it. Now we have become the temple. Right?
Amen. Amen. New King James, Psalm 135:13. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. Whenever man is trying to build something that will bring fame to him, some sort of great reputation for him, something that's going to be a great name for him, there's a reason this is Jerry, not Jerry and Beth Clark Ministries. There's a reason that this is Jericho Ministries International. Why? Because we're not trying to make monuments to Jerry and Beth. We're trying to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people get discouraged and they get disgruntled and they get fearful and they get dismayed because they're building wrong reputations. They're trying to build their own reputation, or they're trying to build somebody else's reputation rather than building into his reputation. I don't need my reputation. I need his reputation. I don't need to be glorified. I need him glorified. I don't need any fame in all the earth. I want him to get all the fame and all the glory in all of the earth. If you're building into his name and into his renown and into his reputation and by his name and for his name and in his name, then everything can fall to pot. But his name will never be shaken. So build in his name. Build for his name. And remember that his name, no matter what happens, it will be exalted above every other name. If for some reason your name comes crumbling down, remember that he's the one. If you have any fame, if you have any good thing, if you have any good fortune, if you have a good reputation, it's because of him anyway. So if something happens and you fall or something happens and somebody throws mud all over your name, it's okay. The same one that gave it to you the first time will give it back to you the next time. New King James, Psalm 72:17. His name shall endure how long?
Forever.
Forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Build into his name.
By the way, when the sun stops shining, don't worry. You won't be here very long. Because the last one is where we're going to be.
Amen.
Amen. Which is
number 12.
The eternal home with God, heaven. Amen? The last unshakable thing. Heaven, your eternal home. That's unshakable.
That's right.
We were just having this discussion the other day in studying about this. When it says, the heavens shall pass away. Bethy says, wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. You mean, I've been investing in all of this and heaven's going to pass away? And we're like, oh, wait a minute. If heaven's passing away, she goes, I don't know if I want to be on this gig anymore. I mean, isn't that what we're hoping for is heaven? So you got to, you know, you got, I said, I can understand that. I said, I don't want you to become a Buddhist. So we're going to have to figure this out. She was joking, by the way. It's like when she discovered... When she discovered that in heaven we're not going to be given as husband and wife, she goes, hey, wait a minute. I have been fighting a lot of battles down here, and then what? It's all done? No. So I had to explain to her. In heaven, it's a whole different ballgame. Can I tell you, heaven is a really good place. And you're not going to be in heaven going, oh, I wish my dog was here. I wish I had a blue house instead of a purple house. I wish. In heaven, you're not going to be going, there's no discontent, no sorrow, no tears, nothing. Nothing. Look, we're totally satisfied. We're totally satisfied in heaven. And it's there. And it's eternal. And it's your promise. Amen?
Amen.
John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Look, Jesus said, I'm going before you to prepare it. Amen?
Amen.
Look, that's a promise. And God's word, we just discovered, that's one of those unshakable things. Now, when Bethy was joking about this, and she was joking about that, she's like, well, if heaven's going to burn up, then where are we going? Well, what it's talking about is the heavens. Here's if you don't understand what the one, two, and third heavens are, did you know there's three heavens? Oh, if you didn't know that, maybe you should read your Bible. Sorry. There are three heavens. The heaven that he's talking about is between earth and our atmosphere. This is the heaven. This is the heaven that he's talking about. And this is going to burn up and pass away. Anybody got it? Hello, it's going to happen. I'm just going to tell you. Read your word. It happens. But let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. He's got them waiting for you. He is creating a place for us. So many people are shaken because they feel the threat of, honestly, today, homelessness. Come on. You know when a mortgage company calls? You got that threat. You begin to get shaken when the mortgage company calls. When the landlord says, hey, by the way, we're going to toss your cookies out in the street there. Because that's what, I mean, we're in a time of economic stress now. Am I right? Because look, and what's happening is people are going, I don't know if I got a home. Can I assure you that you have a home in heaven? And the mortgage is paid in full. And you don't have to worry about the insurance. And it is never going to crumble. There is no problem. National Bank of Heaven doesn't exist because God Himself has everything in His hands. He's already taking care of it. When everything is shaking, you can rest assured that your home in heaven is solid, mm-hmm. that it's set apart for you, and that it is unshaken. Amen?
Amen?
Won't be repossessed. You won't be evicted. Heaven is secure. You do not have to worry about the armies of the Antichrist shaking heaven. I just want to assure you of that. There's not going to be a battle in heaven. There will be a battle, but it's going to be right here.
Mm-hmm.
That battle's already won. He's already been defeated. He and a third of the angels were cast out of it. I'm just going to tell you, this is the truth that we have to understand. When we get there, you're going to understand it's not a war-torn city.
Amen.
There's no fear up there. There's not big guards. Look, there's an angel standing at the front. Trust me, but it's only to let in who comes in. You don't have to worry about an attack on heaven.
It's going to look like no city we've ever seen before. I've been around long enough that I remember times when cities looked a little different than they do now, where there wasn't graffitis everywhere and people weren't running around with guns because they were scared of the other people with guns. When you weren't afraid to get too close to somebody on the highway because if you get too close, somebody might ram you and there wasn't road rage. It was a different world. Some of you have been wrong enough to remember that. I'm going to tell you, heaven isn't going to look anything like that. I'm going to tell you, it is going to be peace. It is going to be glory. It is going to be light. It is going to be love. There's going to be no homeless people there with signs going, I need food. I need work. There's going to be no sick people. We aren't going to be going to people's homes and mansions to pray for the sick. There's not going to be anybody sick. There's not going to be any hospitals there. There's not going to be the people with the guns on the streets. There's not going to be ghost towns. We went to Texas recently, drove through many little tiny cities where you can look at them and remember what probably once was there, but now it's just abandoned homes, abandoned towns. It's not going to look like that up there. There's going to be no earthquake, tornado, blood, none of it. All this stuff we see now, that's not where you're going. Where you're going, it's going to be beautiful, and the streets are going to be paved with gold. And the foundations are going to be built with jewels. It's going to be magnificent. Turn in your Bibles to, I'm going to read you this real quick, 21.
Revelation 21.
Revelation 21, I'm sorry.
Revelation 21,
3 through 5. I apologize for that. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Amen.
Amen.
He who is seated on the throne has said, I am making everything new. Everything new. Amen?
Amen?
We went one time on a hospital visit. And we were there for a long time in the ER. I don't remember who we were visiting, but we were there a long time. And it was on a Saturday night. And it was at St. Anthony's. And so it was a very busy place. St. Anthony's emergency room is a very busy place on a Saturday night. And every time we would walk by this one room, this man would cry out, and he was chained to his bed. And he'd go, "Sir, help me. Sir, help me." And he's moaning in pain. And every time we'd walk by, and I just pray, say, "God, are you coming back soon? Because I'm really looking forward to that heaven, to that place where nobody is going to make those noises," because I couldn't help him. And all I could do was pray for him. But I'm going to tell you, someday we're going to go to a place where the only thing you are going to hear is people saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And nobody's going to be in pain, and nobody's going to be afraid, and it is going to be a beautiful place, and you are going to rest secure. And those people that you watch suffer here, I'm going to tell you, you're going to watch them dance on streets of gold there. This little girl who suffered 21 years of her life, I tell you what, when you see her in heaven, she's going to look altogether nothing like the last days we saw her here on this earth.
Amen. Look, heaven is a different place, and there's not going to be any shaking when we get there. Amen. There's no shaking. You don't have to have earthquake insurance in heaven. No flood insurance, no tornado insurance. You're not going to have to worry about it. Only brilliance, majesty, peace, and perfected love. In Revelation 21, verse 10 through 27, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a most precious stone," Amen. "Like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 140 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, mm-hmm. like glass. Mm-hmm. And the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple, and the city had no need for the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God Amen. Illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Amen.
Amen.
And then verse 20, chapter 22, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life." Ooh, glory. "Clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month.
Amen.
And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
"And there shall be no more curse."
No more curse. Amen.
"But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things he must shortly take that must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Amen?
Amen. You got your house secured there? If not, get your house secured there. If you know that your name is written in the book of life, then know that where you're going is secure. Amen. And when everything starts to shake and every time you turn on the news, there's another town that's flooded and there's another earthquake that's hit and there's another tornado and there's another and there's another and another. Lift up your eyes unto the hills from where your help comes from.
All right. Tell them.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going
to
do.
Because we got to have the cookies where we can get to the cookies,
right?
I mean, what good is the message if you just put it up on a shelf and dust it off in another 6 months?
So this is what we've been talking about, not just so that you can know what is unshakable, but so that you can be building into what is unshakable. So that you can no longer be building into things that can be shaken, because then when it gets shaken, you're going to be mad when it falls apart. And you can begin to build into what is not, what is going to be unshakable. So we made these handouts for you. Everybody's going to get one. And here's what we're going to do. As a body, you guys want to help him pass out those on that side? Thank you.
Don't make me smack you, Brian.
He's got them all. I just have one. So we're going to take one of these a month. How many months are in the year?
12.
And how many unshakable things did we go through?
12.
Ooh. So this month.
No coupon into heaven for you.
No.
This is not a coupon into heaven. You do not need a coupon to get into heaven.
All right.
It's a full price admission. It's already been paid.
This is the 12 that we've been going through over the last three Sundays. And in the month of September, which is this month, we want you specifically to build into the saint of God. Who is that? You. Do you know why we need to build into the saint of God? Because if you are an empty bank, you cannot build into any of the rest of these things. You're not going to be able to build into the church of God if you're bankrupt. And so you need to take this month, the month of September, stop building into your fames and your fortunes and all of these things and start building up your most holy faith. Start building up your knowledge of the Word of God. Start building specifically the joy of the Lord on the inside of you. Start building specifically your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Start building into the saint of God, which is you. Once again, I can go shove my card into the ATM machine all day long, but if there's nothing in there, nothing's going to come out. And so then if somebody comes to me and says, "Can you help me?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, I'm bankrupt too." The month of September, let's build into the saint of God first. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then? Amen. October, we'll move on. But let's not worry about October. let's do
We're
September.
We're in September.
Okay? So build into you, your relationship with God, your relationship with the Holy Spirit. I was talking to a very good friend of mine late last night. Solid woman in the Lord. Ministry leader, known her quite some time, and she's very upside down right now. And the reason she got upside down is because of this, and probably many of you have been there and you can relate. Scripture says, "What profiteth a man to save the entire world and lose himself?" And this is what happens sometimes. Why? Because we're out saving the world and we lose sight of ourselves. And then the next thing you know, I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't even know where my standing is with God anymore. I don't even know what my relationship is with the Holy Spirit anymore. I don't even know why I go to church anymore. I don't even know why I'm doing this ministry anymore. I don't even know. And you're so busy saving the whole world that you lose sight of you. And so this is what I told her. I said, "You don't come to this church, but we're going to put you on our plan for about a month. How about you take some time and just find you again?" Because long before you wore any of these hats and long before you established any of these crowns that you're going to cast at the feet of Jesus one day, you were a child of God. Why don't you find out who she is again and then start from there? So for this month, this is what I want you to do.
That's Luke 9:25, by the way, if you're taking notes, the scripture. What profiteth a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Can I tell you what? If you come across somebody in quicksand, don't jump in and try to save them. Thank you. Throw them a rope. Throw them a red rope, a crimson rope, the blood of Christ. Because if you jump in to get them, all you're going to be is another bag of bones at the bottom of that. It's what she's talking about. So many people go out and try to save the world by jumping into quicksand with them. That is not how you save someone in quicksand. You throw them the rope, stand on the solid, unshakable, and pull them in. Don't stand so close to the edge that you pull in. Right? You've got to stand far enough away, wrap yourself around a tree, and pull. Lord Jesus, Father, I thank you that you are unshakable. That, Lord Jesus, you have given us foundations upon which we can stand. Lord, even as you described the heaven to come, Lord God, with foundations and with walls, Lord God, of your glory, we ask, Jesus, that you would open the eyes of our understanding. Allow us to build into these foundations that, Lord Jesus, we would have 12 foundations in a year, Lord God. Solid foundations on which we can pull your people out of this world, Lord, into the kingdom of heaven. Not by our own merit, Lord God, but because we have found a solid foundation. That we are solid. And that, Lord God, they see everything else shaking except us. Lord, let us be solidly planted upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. And let us build into these unshakable things, that by it we might glorify you with our lives. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, stand up on your feet.